And it is good to be with you after a no-show yesterday because of Kings basketball, and the same thing tomorrow and Friday. We have a lot to talk about, including what we saw on Sunday in the NFL, and of course the Kings finally getting a win last night, beating the Detroit Pistons. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Grant, what's up, big man?
Hey, I'm in Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you just said it all. You just laughed. You don't even have to say anything.
Go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Fuddruckers, they got that in the mall. You get a burger. You know, there's a couple things to do, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. You know, they have a casino that just opened up that's the last couple of years. It's attached to the mall where our hotel's at. So there's always that. You know what I mean? But other than that, no, not much is going on. You know, we have a lot to go over. I mean, the last time we talked was, you know, on Friday, and here we are, and the Kings are getting ready to take on a Cleveland team that lost last night. And, you know what? I was pretty impressed with what I saw last night, Doug, after the way the Kings lost the game Saturday, and then, taking 9 hours to get here on Sunday. The team was very focused, and it was a complete team effort. And how nice was it, Doug, to see Malachi Richardson and Willie Cauley-Stein contribute the way they did?
Oh, boy, man. I was yelling at the television as I was watching, excited for them, excited for the Kings. You lose in Chicago, Grant, but you put together, I think, eight quarters of pretty solid basketball. There hasn't been that just a total lapse, but to watch those guys get out there and be productive and play with the energy. We spotlighted some stuff on the post game afterwards, but really happy for Willie Cauley-Stein and Malachi. Great stuff from them.
Yeah, and you know, as far as Willie Cauley-Stein goes, you know, you can't contribute if you're not in the game. So he got playing time both in Chicago in the first half and then again last night, and he made the most of it. You know, the NBA is about consistency. It's about, okay, you played this way, now let's see you play that way again, and then let's see you play that way again and again and again. Not to a point where you have to be an A-plus every night, but you know, Doug, you know, earning minutes is one thing. Keeping minutes, you keep minutes because you're doing things repetitively in a positive way. You're consistent. And hopefully Willie Cauley-Stein can start finding some consistency.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing for Willie, Grant, I think that's going to bode well for him is this isn't skill-based initially. And what I mean by that is he's not worried about crossover dribbles and step-back jumpers and three-pointers and free-throw percentage. That's not what's going to get him his minutes. What's going to get him his minutes initially is going to be energy, effort on the defensive and on the offensive end, on the defense and on the offensive glass, pick and rolls, all those things. And then the points come. And that's kind of how he played last night. He was defensively, he was engaged, he got some offensive rebounds and things. And then all of a sudden, a jab step, he drives to the basket, and that's how it goes. But he has to stay consistent with the energy and effort.
And then Malachi Richardson, you know what, you mentioned this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe it was 3 weeks ago after you saw him in Houston, and even though it was, you know, in a blowout game in the fourth quarter, you said, you know what, he looks comfortable on the court, and I like that. He looks very comfortable. It almost, Jerry made a point, you know, that if you didn't know, you wouldn't realize that he's a rookie. He doesn't really look like a rookie on the floor. He looks like he has a pretty good feel of the game.
Yeah, there's a swagger, there's a confidence about him that doesn't really go along with all rookies. And his aggressiveness, first and foremost, when he's out there, you know, the other night, grabbing a rebound, taking it the full length of the court and pulling up for a jump shot, driving to the basket, not afraid of contact. And just like you said, when you saw him in Houston, it just jumped out at me. But then watching him compete when we're doing the radio show, and then, you know, talking to him from time to time when he's shooting and saying, you're going to miss that one. He turns around. He's like, nah, I'm going to make this. Those are the things. And now you watch it translate to the court. It's really good stuff for him.
All right, let's back up to Sunday. Two blowouts, the home teams prevail. It was no contest in either of the games, and that sets up, obviously, New England and Atlanta. And I really think when you look at this matchup, you know, everyone is looking at New England because they're a 3-point favorite. I don't understand why they're a 3-point favorite. I don't understand that. I mean, I think if you take a step back, I think Atlanta's better on both sides of the football. I don't understand why Atlanta is a 3-point underdog in this game.
Well, I would say probably from the standpoint that Atlanta hasn't been to this stage before. And yes, they when you look at all the weapons, Julio Jones and Matt Ryan is throwing the ball, the running backs catching the ball. There's so many things that you can look at from Atlanta's standpoint, Grant. But Tom Brady, Belichick, They've been here many, many times. Matter of fact, they have a reservation there each and every year. Just sometimes it's full and they can't get in. But I think that that is what probably right now gives them a little bit of the advantage. And you have to know, with 13 days, I believe it's 13 days off, Belichick is going to come up with something that is going to probably take away, number one, Julio Jones. And what are the Atlanta Falcons going to do, especially when you get in the backfield and you put Matt Ryan on his butt? And I would think that that is probably the recipe for them.
Coming up on the show today at 3:32, we'll have Kings coach Dave Yeager on at 4:01, Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. So those are our first two guests. And again, Dave Yeager and the Dave Yeager Show at 3:32, and Charles Davis, NFL Network, and the NFL on Fox is coming up at 4:01. I think Atlanta's going to win this game. I think they're going to win this game fairly comfortably. I think they're a better team than New England. I agree with everything you just said about Bill Belichick. I agree with everything you said about the intangibles, the fact that New England's been there. They know what to expect. But you know what? They don't win every year they go there. And you know, Atlanta, who's playing better than Atlanta right now, including New England? I mean, Atlanta right now, they look unstoppable to me. They really do. And it's not like New England's got a great defense. They've got a good defense. I would say that. They've got a good defense. I think Atlanta is going to be able to put points on the board. I really do.
Man, you know, Grant, this is something that you and I have talked about all year. And I mentioned it. Atlanta and Kansas City were two teams that they just they don't get it done. And that's kind of why I went against Atlanta initially. And watching them, I would agree with you. They are an absolute juggernaut offensively. We just haven't seen anyone smack them yet. And I think not only probably will the Patriots smack them, but I think the stage is going to smack them a little bit, because they got a lot of rookies on the defensive side of the ball, and you are facing Tom Brady, and he is going to probably be delivering that rock. And who's going to score? Because initially, when you look at the Green Bay game, they went down. They just couldn't put the ball in. That can change things. You know that. You speak about it all the time. The team that scores first puts a little pressure. I agree with you, though. Atlanta is looking really tough. It's just hard for me to buy in. I don't know why.
Hey, folks, all week, listeners can win a family four-pack of tickets to the Professional Bull Riders happening January 26th through the 29th at Golden One Center. One lucky winner will win a VIP experience with the Professional Bull Riders to check out a flight of action from PBR Shark Cage. Listen for the keyword and text it to 44-11-40 at 3:40 p.m. For your chance to win. So if you have any thoughts on what we saw on Sunday, to me, Green Bay was going to have a very difficult time winning the game, and that's why I picked Atlanta, because of their injuries. They were too beat up, and they also, listen, the missed field goal hurt the momentum. Yeah. The fumble inside the 5-yard line obviously hurt, but they had too many injuries to compete in that game. There's just no way. And how about Jordy Nelson? Boy, do you have to have respect for him based on, you know, him playing in that game and playing fairly well. That's big time right there.
Yeah, Grant, in the warm-ups, they showed him, and he was reaching for some balls, and I was just going, what is going on? And then to watch him go out and compete, I mean, that is what you call putting it on the line for your team in the biggest way. The ultimate amount of respect for a guy. Crack ribs out there. He had the flax on around his ribs, but that's not going to protect you. He was getting hit, going to the ground, and he just kept plugging away, man.
All right, if you want to comment on any of these topics, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The Kings tomorrow, the middle of an 8-game road trip against a LeBron James team, and LeBron really sounded off after the game last night. They gave up 70 points to New Orleans without Anthony Davis last night, and they lose a high-scoring affair in New Orleans, and now they come home all ticked off. And if you remember what happened the last time the Cavaliers were ticked off after losing to Portland in Utah first, then Portland, they came in Sacramento and spanked the Kings with a huge first quarter. I got to believe that the Kings are once again going to be looking at a ticked-off Cleveland Cavaliers team tomorrow night.
I would say so, Mr. Napier. And, you know, interestingly enough, watching LeBron the other night. I don't know if you got to see the Spurs game when they played each other. And it was uncharacteristically, he was really getting on a lot of his teammates. And I guess that is kind of what's been building. He said that they're top heavy with Love, Kyrie, and himself. They, you know, he's challenged the front office to do more and bring in more. You know, I think as he ages and he understands the window of opportunity, he's saying, don't be satisfied with one. Let's try to get more. But a ticked off LeBron James and Cleveland Cavaliers team at home and Quicken Loans Arena is going to be absolutely rocking. It's going to be a tough test for the Kings.
It's going to be, no question. And then after tomorrow, it's on to Indiana, Charlotte, Philadelphia, and Houston. You know, a lot of people still were talking to me on social media about what happened Saturday in Chicago. It was a horrible call, the NBA acknowledged, so it didn't necessarily mean the Kings were going to win the game. You know, the game was tied at that point. There's no guarantee that the Kings were going to get the ball and score. You also have to remember that in the final two possessions of that game, the Kings didn't even get a shot off. All right, they turned it over, allowing Dwayne Wade to go in for a dunk. Yes, he missed it. No, he wasn't fouled. But then the Kings still had a chance to win it, and they turned the ball over. And so I don't know if the Kings would have won the game, but that was the worst call that we've seen this year. There's not a call that I can think of that's been made in the first half of the season involving the Kings that I would say is worse than what we saw in that attempted dunk by Dwayne Wade on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely horrendous. I mean, did Boogie put his hand up? Yes. I'm not even sure if he actually touched him, but there was absolutely no call there. And then the tough thing is you actually get the rebound and you had numbers going the other way. That was the point. And it was so loud in there that I don't think that they heard the whistle. But to your point, Grant, Kings had opportunities. They didn't get shots. Some things coming down the stretch. And that's where a coach can, I think, solidify in his team. Look, let's not look at that. Let's look at the things that we could have controlled that we didn't. And those are the reasons that we won. I mean,
yeah,
lost.
Lost. Sorry. And, you know, again, everyone points to the call. It was a horrible call. There's no question about that. But you can't definitively say it cost the Kings the game. The Kings may not have won the game anyway, but it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. And instead of, you know, being 1-2 on this trip, the Kings could very easily be 2-1. And that's been the narrative this year. Could have, should have, you know, and could have and should have doesn't show up in the standings in your favor. It's about you either win or you lose in this league. And the Kings must do a better job in crunch time. They've lost a lot of games in crunch time. And the biggest culprit to me is turnovers.
Yeah, and then the points off of those turnovers, Grant. The other night, the Kings had 10 turnovers for 18 points. I don't know which game that was, but that's almost a perfect conversion rate because if you get 10 turnovers, that's, you know, you could get 20 points. If you shoot three-pointers, you could get 30, but let's just say 20. They get 18 points. That means 9 times they converted. So these are turnovers. You have to, if you turn it over, you have to switch from offense to defense immediately. So the turnover is one thing, but you do not want to compound that with giving them wide open layups and things like that. Something that the Kings just, they have to buckle down on, especially, Grant, when you say instead of 1-2, you could be 2-1. Instead of 1-4, you could be 3-2. That's going to be the difference in the season when you look back at it.
All right. And again, Miami tomorrow coming off a bad loss. Then they take on Charlotte. And Charlotte's a 500 team. They haven't been playing well. All right, and then you go to Indiana first. They're a 500 team at 22-22. Then the next night you're in Charlotte. The problem is because of that makeup game, Doug, you have 4 games in 5 nights starting in Indiana. And the tough part is, you know, you have a 3.5-hour flight after the Philadelphia game on Monday night, and then you close out the road trip against Houston. Not making excuses. It is what it is. But 4 games in 5 nights is, as you know, because you've done it many times in your career, it's probably the most difficult thing that players are asked to do, especially when you're traveling after every game like the Kings are going to be. It's not easy. 4 games in 5 nights is difficult. It's so difficult, as a matter of fact, that the collective bargaining agreement with the owners are, you know, the reason why they're pushing the season up a week is to get rid of those 4 and 5s and to start, you know, eliminating some of the back-to-backs, Doug, so that coaches will play their players players more instead of giving them nights off because of the crazy schedule. So next year, the schedule is going to start a week ahead of time. The schedule will be spread out a little bit. And the reason for that is they want to give their players a little more rest.
Yeah, the 4 and 5 nights is absolutely tough, especially when you're on the East Coast. So that's a 3-hour difference. Then you're taking on playoff teams like Indiana and Charlotte. Then you add a Philly in there who you want to be you want to be better than them in the record, because you could switch draft picks. There's a lot of different things, and they're trending up because they're playing really well.
That's right.
And then at the very end of it, you add the, I think, second leading scoring team in the NBA that hasn't been playing well, and they're looking to shoot their way out of it.
You know, the one thing I will say, and I don't know, I've never asked you this, so I'm going to ask you right here, is I've always said that players don't care about draft picks. They, when you go out and play, you know, like, for instance, when Sacramento plays Philadelphia on Monday, the players don't really give a damn whether the Kings are swapping picks with Philadelphia or not. It's not of any interest to them. They're going to go out and try to win the game because that's what they're paid to do. They're not thinking, well, gee, boy, we really need to try to win the game because we don't want to give them our pick in the draft. Players don't think like that. Players, you know, I've always said, you know, when fans say, you know, about tanking games, players don't tank games, all right? In other words, when you're playing to win and you're playing the best you can. You don't want to embarrass yourself. You know, you don't want to go out. You're, you know, tanking is from organizations that decide to rest players at the end of the season and play a lot of young guys. That's what tanking means. The guys that are on the floor, they don't give a damn whether your team gets the number one pick in the draft or not. That's the furthest thing from their mind.
Yeah, Grant, this is just us talking, because absolutely, I can't even remember a time when we were ever thinking about draft picks or any of that type of stuff. So the Kings know that, fans.
Right.
They are not thinking about
that.
I'll take it to this level. It's Cuz's comments is he said it was absolutely gnawing and killing and eating at him, because in his mind, the one thing he wants is he wants that badge to say, look, I've made it to the playoffs, and now you build on that, because it's never happened before. So you got to know that that is the last thing that they're thinking about. That's just a conversation for us.
Yeah, exactly. And I think fans don't quite understand that. I think that's one of the big misconceptions that fans have when they start talking about these things. These are things that are discussed on radio shows.
Yes.
These are things that are discussed with your buddies when you're hanging out. These aren't things that are being discussed on the team bus and on the team plane. No one on the Kings that plays, they don't care where the Kings draft. They don't care about any of that stuff. It's a non-issue to them. And so, you know, we talk about it, and we have to talk about it. You know, Philadelphia. And here's another thing. No disrespect to DeMarcus Cousins. I get the fact that he wants to win. All right. You don't have to convince me of that. You know, the Kings are 17-27 right now. All right. We need to understand that. Sacramento is 10 games under 500. Okay. And, you know, to get any respect at all, in my opinion, you better win 41 games before you even go there. Because right now, it looks like 36 or 37 wins may get you in the playoffs in the Western Conference. Now, I personally think, Doug, one of these teams will get on a run here, and it will be closer to 40 wins will get you in. But I, for one, all right, do not think that winning 37 to 38 games and making the playoffs, and again, this is me speaking. This is Grant Napier. This isn't the coach of the Kings, or it's not DeMarcus Cousins. I don't think that's a successful year. I just don't. I don't think that winning 37 games and making the playoffs is a successful year. Now, it may be successful in the box office because, you know, from a business perspective, because you sell out two more games and you get to sell a lot more jerseys. I get that. I'm fully on board with that. But I personally, I'm not going to look at a team in the West, whether it's Sacramento or New Orleans or Portland or Denver or whomever, that gets into the playoffs with 37 to 38 wins, gets blown out in four straight games, and say, oh boy, they had a successful year. I don't see that. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't see that.
No, there's stages to it. So I agreed with what you said. When you look at it from the outside looking in, you're going to say 37 wins, that was terrible. If that gets in, I agree with you. I think someone's going to make a run. It's going to be closer to 41 and 41 or 40 and 42. But There's a building and a mentality that needs to take place within the players. You got to go through the pain and all the different things to get to that level. And when you do it, there's a joy, but there's a respect for it that it transforms a player to their focus and their growth. A lot of players who I can remember, Jamal Crawford never got to the playoffs for, like, I think it was like 11 years, and then he finally got there. And I can remember seeing an article on him, and he was just talking about the fact of how much he revels and respects the process now because he has been there. So from that standpoint, it would be a success for a player like DeMarcus and the players on the team and the organization trying to build going forward. But the number, agreed, Grant, not a success.
Yeah, and so, you know, because the West is so bad, once you get past seven, and they're bad. Denver's bad, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, Minnesota. You know, all these teams are bad, okay? I have a real difficult time even talking about it. Like, I just, you know, the eighth place team right now in the West, okay, is seven games under 500.
Wow.
Denver is 18-25, and they're seven games under 500. Denver, to me, is not making the playoffs. They're not a good team. Now, they might be in eighth right now. I don't see them finishing in eighth. I just don't think they're very good. Matter of fact, I don't even think they're average. I don't even think that they're even close to average. And so average to me is 41-41. They're nowhere near that, in my opinion. I don't think the Pelicans are anywhere near that, in my opinion. There are a lot of teams that I look at and don't think that they're anywhere near that. It's just to me, you know what, Doug? I almost wish that the eighth place team in the West right now was 500. So that we could look at this almost, I don't want to say objectively,
right,
because we are looking at it objectively, but I think we need to be very careful here about how we are going to determine this season, whether it's a successful season or not. And in my opinion, if 37 or 38 wins gets into the playoffs, that means you lost 44 games.
This is true, but remember, I believe it was my Seahawks that got into the playoffs with a.
They were 7-9, and they beat New Orleans, an 11-win team.
Exactly. So, not to say that the Kings.
Yeah, but that's different.
Yeah, it is different. But my thing is the mentality that it would bring to this new regime of organization and everything that you're trying to do. But I understand what you're saying because the record does not signify the type of success and prosperity and respect that is needed to be in the playoffs, especially in the Western Conference.
All right. Dave Yeager is going to be coming up next. So we're going to have the coach on. We've got a lot to talk about. And man, what a busy week. What a busy week as Sacramento is on the road, and they're going to be on the road until next Tuesday. So we'll have Dave Yeager next right here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the NFL and Super Bowl 51, Sacramento Sports Station, Sports 1140 KHDK. We welcome you back, Sports 1140 KHDK, and each and every week we get a chance to speak to the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Dave Yeager, brought to you by Petkus Brothers. Coach, how are you today?
I'm well. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, can hear you just fine. Coach, I got to tell you, I was really impressed with the way your team played last night on the heels of what happened at the end of the game Saturday, the long travel day Sunday. Your team was focused. It was just a complete team effort. It seemed like everyone that you put on the floor played very well, and the attention to detail certainly was evident last night.
Yeah, I was happy for our guys. They deserved it. It was a tough trip. You can have a depressing moment after you lose a game like we did in Chicago, and you can sit and feel sorry for yourself, or, you know, you can lift yourself back up. And one of the things that we have is, you know, our locker room is very solid. Guys are staying positive and the spirits are good. So to come out and they kind of hit us pretty early. I mean, it didn't seem like they missed in the first quarter and we didn't have the defensive intensity that we needed to, but our second unit was fantastic last night and really set the game up. And then, you know, DeMarcus came in and kind of closed it out at the end, and then we made some big plays.
Coach, you mentioned it right there, the fact that, you know, they got out early. What does that do for the ball club? Because we hung in, bench come in, contribute, DeMarcus closes out. It was a full team effort. When you're in the locker room, how do they feel about that type of thing?
Well, I think, you know, it shows some resiliency to you know, keep banging away and staying with it and believing in each other and that we can get it done. And, you know, I can give you a couple, you know, examples of things that are going really well that kind of tell you, you know, we always say, you play, Doug. But, you know, things like Matt Barnes, 37 with bruised ribs, dives on the floor and gets a loose ball to clinch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I drew up a play last night of which we already have in our playbook, but I drew it up in timeout. And Ben McLemore says to me as we're breaking the huddle, he says, isn't Malachi supposed to go from this block to set that screen? Now, think about that.
Right.
That's a guy who has basically, he's 3 years his senior, but still a young player, and a guy who's kind of playing his position and he is paying attention in the huddle and is helping a rookie. Those are the kinds of things where those are little spirit things that you know, hey, everybody's all in.
Yep.
And so it's easy to say, well, gee, presumably you win more games. Well, yeah, hopefully those things kind of come, but it gives you kind of a barometer of where we are as a team mentally.
Dave Yeager joining us here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Willie Cauley-Stein, clearly his best outing of the year. It's obviously been a tough road for him this season, getting playing time, and when he hasn't really done that much with it. What did you like about the way he played last night, Dave?
Well, I like a couple things that he does, and they're all related to motor, you know, a guy's drive to go and rebound out of your area. That means, you know, not a rebound that's just maybe going to land on top of your head, but using your athleticism and your wingspan and getting off the floor and grabbing and snagging a ball that is not coming close to you, you go and get it. And I thought he did that. And then, you know, he finished stronger around the rim. You know, he didn't clutch and dipsy do, you know what I mean? He went up strong with some tip ins. He's been putting in his work. He's, you know, you just got to keep staying with it and staying with it. Our coaches have been working with him, video and drills and ball handling and, you know, stuff around the rim and all these things. And he's taken to it. If he didn't do it himself, you know, we could, you know, you can drag a guy to do it, but he's taken it on himself. And I think, you know, he should feel good and gain some confidence going forward from that. And it's tough on me because the league is playing smaller and smaller and smaller. And so Costa has a little bit more girth. He has more experience, and we're also playing DeMarcus at center throughout the large part of games. And so for various reasons you do that. And so there's sometimes where it's not that Willie is not playing well, it's just that it's very difficult to play, you know, a bunch of centers.
Dave, we noticed, and Jerry and I were talking about this last night, it looks to me that Willie Cauley-Stein's free throw stroke is so much better than last year, which you obviously weren't here for, so it would be more difficult to comment. Do you know, has he made a change to the best of your knowledge in the way he's shooting it, or is it just repetition and it's starting to work for him now?
Both, and confidence, you know, feeling good about the work you're putting in. There's not a huge mechanical change that we ever want to make with a player, but just subtle things. I think the ball's coming off his hand a little bit softer, and I think he's getting the ball up and down a little bit. I think when he struggles, he just points it straight out, and the ball is very, very flat.
Coach, whether it's Twitter listeners, you know, Kings, tons of fans, when you look at the difference that you've had to start in many different lineups, I know it's hard to define style, but if you could define the style, what is your style and the style of this Sacramento Kings team?
I think it's something we're still working on. You know, we never really had a chance where, you know, Rudy was out 10 out of 11 games. You know, I think he was out six, and then he tried to play one, and I'm probably off by a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back, and, you know, because you're trying to get through the first 20 games and figure out your team a little bit. So then we kind of went back to, you know, playing with him once he came back, and then now he's gone, you know, he's gone for the season certainly. So that has a big impact on how you play because, you know, he needs the ball. DeMarcus needs the ball. You know, I'm encouraging Darren to be a scorer as much as possible. So, you know, we kind of start one way, and then we come in with a unit that has a bunch of energy and plays a little bit faster. So to say it's all this or all that, it's kind of different groups are built a little bit differently. Very quietly, Aaron Aflalo is playing pretty well here the last three or four games, and I think that's, you know, that's good for him and that's good for us. He's playing out of position at small forward at 6'4". But he likes the banging. He likes to post up. You've seen a guy who likes contact like that. It has been different all the time, and so it can be difficult to say, but try to set up games and let DeMarcus get him in the post, get him at the elbows. He likes to play in the top where he can see where everybody is. And so we have to kind of mix it in where we move him around at, and we're still getting better at that.
Coach, stylistically, when you say that, I've noticed DeMarcus Moore in the post at the elbow and guys cutting off of him. Is that kind of an evolution of him learning how? Because Grant and I always talk that he is a really willing passer, and he's always one dribble away from getting to the basket.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting him closer to the basket, whether it be just to the elbows or to right around the free throw line area, he's such a threat, like you say. He can take you one bounce, one step, cross-step you and finish, but he attracts so much attention defensively. I think sometimes if we get him too far out from the basket, he gets into his second or third dribble by the foul line area, and I think that's where you see people, you know, swipe down on him and create turnovers. And so, you know, it's something that we're working on.
Dave Yeager joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. You saw Cleveland last week after they had lost at Utah and at Portland. You're going to see him tomorrow after two losses. And last night they allowed a New Orleans team without Anthony Davis to score 70 in the first half, and they lost. I guess I could also look at the big picture and say, well, they're just not playing that well right now. But you know you're going to get the A version of the Cavaliers, so at least your players know what to expect tomorrow.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Hey, you know, hey, it's just, man, I, you know, we got on the bus last night, Coach, and, you know, we were, before you got on there, and me and some of the guys were like, uh-oh, you know, they just lost to New Orleans. But again, I look at the big picture, and I've been looking at their last 2 weeks. It's not like, I don't think they're playing as well as they were. I don't know if they missed J.R. Smith more, if Kyle Korver hasn't fit in. But I say that, you saw the A version of the Cavaliers, and they came out in the first quarter last week. But after that, you know, your team, I thought, played very well. But you can't do that against that team.
No, it's difficult. They did had a concerted effort, I thought, in our game back home to get Kyle Korver going, ran him off some pin downs. And, you know, he's elite at what he does. And it gives a different dimension to their team. And then something that's not talked about is, you know, Iman Shumpert comes out and goes 4-for-5 from three.
Right. Yep.
You know, you're
yep.
like, you have enough to deal with, right?
Right.
With Kyrie and with Love and all this and that. And so, Kyle, come on, you know, we don't need that. So, you know, hopefully we get a good performance and, you know, they're not too fired up. But I in a bigger scope of the discussion, we've caught a lot of teams this year with needing a win, or we've caught teams coming out on a West Coast trip where they struggled a little bit coming in there. And you look at the schedule and you go, okay, we got to go to Golden State. We're going to see the Clippers. This is one we need to get this Kings game right here so that we can set the road trip up to, you know, you always try to see if you can go 500 on the road, right?
Yep.
And the great teams do better than that. So we've caught a lot of those teams this year, and I know we'll get their best shot tomorrow.
Coach, 4-5 nights. It was great to see young Malachi out there being aggressive. Are you going to dig maybe deeper into your bench as you manage these minutes, or are you just going to play it each game and see how the game goes?
Oh, it's difficult, Doug, because you're always trying to find those matchups that are put you at less of a deficit.
Right.
You know, and so throughout the course of games, Anthony and Matt, to me, are both better served guarding stretch fours. They're almost better even guarding power fours than laterally, you know, they give you everything they got. And so there's kind of a little bit of a hole against some athletic threes. And so, you know, I think, like I said, I made the comment about Aaron Aflalo, who really took on the challenge to play Jimmy Butler the other night. I thought he did a great job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was kind of ticked about all the calls that Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade kept getting in the fourth quarter, where you just go in there and you run into people. Those guys fought. Garrett Temple fought like crazy. And so you try to find the matchups that not only can you exploit at one end, but the other matchups where you don't get hurt or you're not quite as much of it at a deficit. And that's partly because, you know, Omri's out a little bit, and certainly with Rudy being gone.
You know, what Doug says, though, with the 4-5 and all the travel, particularly in a 4-5 starts Friday against Indiana, but particularly with the travel from Philadelphia to Houston, the fact that you see Malachi getting in and looking like he belongs and playing well, the fact that Willie has looked good the last two games, I would think from your perspective, that's got to really help, because you've now said to yourself, okay, you know what, maybe my bench is deeper. I've got more guys I can play, because you may need them in this tough stretch coming up.
Yeah, that and you know, I think it's just time. It there has to be a right time. Mm-hmm. That you can't sit down with pen and paper and calculate. It's just kind of your feel as how guys are feeling, their confidence, and at what point in the season you start to mix in some of those younger guys. We're still trying to win every single game we can, but there's a time and a point where a guy kind of rises up and you get, okay, you know what? Let's take a look at this guy. Let's start putting him into some rotation minutes. You notice, I think in Memphis, I played them maybe the first half, but not the second half, or Chicago. And so And then, you know, they get their feet on the ground a little bit, get a little confidence. And then last night in Detroit, they played in both halves. And so I think that's a positive thing. And to add to your point, it does give us takes some minutes off some guys and gives us a look at these guys and adds a little bit of depth.
Yeah, Coach, that's an interesting take because a lot of fans wouldn't understand that. We had some people saying, well, why did he play in the first half and not in the second half? But a lot of times, Coach, that's you find their confidence and you see their confidence in practice, that foreign word, that foreign P word that just never, ever just takes place. But so you don't get to see that, so you get to give them a little bit and then take it back and see how they respond. And they have responded absolutely fantastic, spot on stuff.
It's been a nice shot in the arm, you know, a little bit of juice, a little bit of, you know, freshness, a little bit of energy, and do they make mistakes? You know, Malachi got backdoored twice last night.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
And it's not summer league, okay? You don't just get minutes for free and it doesn't really matter what the score is. It does matter.
Yeah.
But those are experiences that he can grow from. Immediately is in the plane looking at video and with one of our assistant coaches, Jason Marks, going, hey, this is what I thought I was seeing on this play. And that's how you learn.
Yep.
We're not just throwing guys out there going, hey, you know, this is just a learning process. No, we're competing as hard as we can. And as young guys, they should pick that stuff up and continue to improve.
Coach, always appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
My question for you, though, is which studio are you working at today? Grant, is it the AutoZone studio, the Subway studio, the O'Reilly studio, or are you in one of these rooms here, or I don't know where you
He's
are,
big
man.
Time, probably... Coach.
I'll tell you what, I'm about four blocks away from the hotel. If you'd like to come down here and take over the show for the next 3 hours, I would really appreciate that. How's that? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll call it the Dave Yeager studio. How's that?
Thank you, guys. You're the best.
Thank you.
You got it, man.
Dave Yeager Show brought to you by Petkus Brothers. If you want to react to that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140 on your home for the best live and local coverage of the NFL and Super Bowl 51, Sacramento Sports Station, Sports 1140, KHTK. Good stuff from Dave Yeager as the Kings take on a Cavaliers team that's lost two in a row. And, you know, again, Dave said almost like, hey, thanks, New Orleans.
Yeah,
know,
right.
Right? Now, because, you know, again, I'd be surprised if you don't see the A version of Cleveland tomorrow.
Man, you know, Grant, you said that exact thing the last time we saw them. And yep. That's to Coach's point. It seems whether it's a player coming back, a team on a losing streak, they need a win. It's the first game of a road trip. Not excuses, just it seems like that every time we're playing somebody.
All right, let's get to Mark. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Love the show.
Thank you.
When you guys started the show, you guys were talking about Super Bowl, and I'm just gonna be honest right now. I'm a Patriots fan. That's just the way it is. And I picked the Atlanta Falcons a few weeks ago to win the whole thing. I still think that they might, but to your point, Grant, we've seen probably the two best offenses in the past decade and a half lose in the Super Bowl to great defenses, and I think that the Patriots defense is sneaky good.
It is sneaky good. I would agree with that.
Yeah, the front seven is good. They played the wide receivers and the secondary played Pittsburgh perfectly last week. I was surprised how well they played, even as a fan, how well they played without drawing any calls. Thought they played great. You never know what's going to happen in the game. I'm going to love it either way. Hopefully my team wins. But like I said, you never know what's going to happen.
Grant and Mark, I will say this. The New England only giving up, Grant, 18 points a game. They are a championship-level ball club, coaching, front office.
No question.
And that's where I think you mentioned, Grant, before Mark came on, that was that plus three. That's probably where that lies.
Yeah, you're probably right. I just think I'm looking at Atlanta. I think they're better on both sides of the ball. I really do. And I think they're going to win the game.
They're scary. They are scary. Atlanta's scary. I mean, that's why I picked them a few weeks ago to win the whole thing. But it's going to come down to execution. That's the whole point. Yeah, guys, you guys have a great day.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you. And again, I respect what New England's done. I mean, you'd have to be not looking at the full body of work I appreciate what they've done. They are a really good football team, period.
Yes. When you look at some of these numbers, Atlanta, 620 points, Grant, in 18 games. I mean, that is crazy. But then you look at the Pats, 6.5 quarters. So that's a game and a little bit more. They've only given up. They haven't given up a play over 20 yards.
Yep.
And that is going to be really tested against this group of
Falcons. Yeah, they'll give up.
They,
there's no way they're not going to give up a play of 20 yards in this game.
Oh, boy.
But as long as they keep the Falcons in front of them, okay, then you know their goal line defense and everything else is very good. Listen, I'm not dissing New England, nor am I not giving them any credit. I recognize them. They are a phenomenal organization and a phenomenal team. And we also know, you know, Tom Brady and Deflategate and being suspended for the first four games and how much this game means to him. I mean, I'd be shocked if you don't get the best that the New England Patriots have to offer in this game.
Oh, yes. And you know what? I hear him saying we got to go to break. So when we come back, Grant, I have a question for a Tom Brady question for Grant Napier that you can answer because you are a football head.
Well, how about Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox?
Oh, boy. Ha-ha! There
because
we
wouldn't
go.
Wouldn't he be better to
He would
answer
be better
question?
Than you, Grant. I can't say that a lot because you are knowledgeable as hell. But, yes, you are right. Charles,
right.
It is.
Because Charles Davis, our favorite guest every week, is indeed going to be coming on next on your home for the best live and local coverage of the NFL and Super Bowl 51, Sacramento Sports Station, Sports 1140 KHDK.